Danny Lakey Late Show.
Right now on 131060. This is a good headline. Jennifer Aniston says Friends reunion could happen. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But there may be one cast member holding it all back. Oh. Ever since Friends aired its final episode in 2004, fans have been hopeful of a reunion. And now, 15 years on, Jennifer Aniston has given the biggest hint yet that it could happen. She obviously played Rachel, and she was telling Ellen the other day that anything could happen and that she'd be very much all for reprising her alter ego all these years on.
Do a Friends reunion, okay?
Okay.
Because I told you this. I would do it,
even if someone can't do it.
You can
do it.
I can do it. I can do it by myself.
I mean, there's a little bit of a hint here that Ellen and Jennifer Aniston know something's up. That five of the six members of Friends could very easily get back together and do some sort of Where Are They Now Friends reunion spin-off. Maybe even an 8-part series. But it would seem quite clear in that subtext that one of these six cast members is holding it back. And to be honest, I think it could still go ahead. We saw it with the Spice Girls. Don't need five Spices to do a Spice Girl reunion tour. No one cares about the fifth member anymore. It's all about the big four. I think it's probably fair to say and very appropriate to ask this.
It's time for Danny Lakey's Burning Question. Could you go a five-person Friend reunion?
Yeah, could you go a five-person Friends reunion? I mean, I'm just going to put it out there right now. Yes. Yes, I could. Very much so. I mean, it couldn't just be any five. It'd have to be the magic five. Because in 2016, you might remember that five of the six cast members, minus Matthew Perry, a.k.a. Chandler, reunited for an NBC tribute to director James Burrows, in which they reminisced about the most memorable scenes from the show. To be honest, I staged my own dirty protest. It wasn't the five I was after. You can't have a Friends reunion without Chandler being one of the six. That's the thing. I mean, a Ross? Oh, every day of the week. You could get a Friends reunion without Ross.
You can't have a Friends reunion without Ross. Ross is the main person on the whole show.
What?
The whole show revolves around Ross.
Excuse me. Ross was the mopiest thing on that bloody thing. What was it? Paleontologist just moping around having a crush on Rachel?
Yeah, that was the whole 10 seasons. He was the best character out of everyone.
Pivot!
Okay, that was quite a funny moment, but that was the only thing that Ross ever bought in the 12 seasons that was on air. Nah, you couldn't do it. You know what? You know what else I'd be happy? I'd be happy to go five if Phoebe was the one who missed out. Old Kudrow.
Smelly cat, what are they feeding you? Everybody, smelly cat.
I could do without smelly cat.
No, you need Phoebe.
No, you don't. You don't. Yes. Why are we liking opposite ends of the Friends spectrum?
I could definitely go one without Chandler.
How dare you?
Chandler was just the funny guy
in the sitcom, aka the sit-down comedy. You need Chandler. Without Chandler, the whole wheels go off the show, mate. No. No way can we put you ahead of the five Friend reunion. 131060, can it happen? Would you go a five Friend reunion?
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
It's time for Danny Lakey's Burning Question. Could you go a five-person Friend reunion?
I think you could, to be honest. And there's no time like the present if they're going to reboot everyone's favourite sit-down comedy, Friends, with Ross, Rachel, Phoebe, Monica, Chandler and Joey. Because Friends ran from 1994 to 2004, so this year's the 25-year anniversary of the show starting. And this year's also 15 years since it ended. No time like the present. Those numbers look damn sexy. And Jennifer Aniston and Ellen DeGeneres hinted that only five of the six cast members are keen to reunite. Which I say, if it's Phoebe or Ross that don't want a bar of it, prosper on, guys. Producer Jack, he loved Ross and Phoebe. In fact, I think those are his two favourite characters. Had no time for the Chandlestick. Chandler. That's what I call him because he's my favourite character. Getting some coming through on Instagram, Producer Jack. Can five Friends do the reunion without the sixth?
Yeah, well, we got one person who said, no, definitely not, but you can maybe get rid of Janice.
No, 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 yet again, no. I mean, nice humour, nice throwback to Janice, but no, you can't have a reunion without Janice coming back in. She's more important than Phoebe, I'd say.
Another person said, agreed with you on Phoebe, but then someone said, get rid of Joey. Which I kind of agree with, actually.
Yeah, he's mid-range, to be honest. I always felt like Joey and Chandler were operating in the same sort of comedy, but Chandler was the lovable one you could see yourself in a relationship with, whereas Joey, you know, was just a bit of a sleazeball. 131060. Which friend can stay out of the reunion? Or can it not happen? Caitlin in Victoria.
Hello, how are you?
Blissful. Could it happen?
Well, I originally said no, but now probably I'd agree with you, and actually, if you just got rid of Phoebe, it would still be fine.
Wow. So this was a change of tack. So you told producer Jack that you couldn't do it, but then just listening to my 30-second rant about Phoebe has changed your mind.
I've just had another think about it. It would probably be okay if they actually did it without her.
And let this be a lesson to anyone on hold. Never fear to change your opinion halfway through. It's not like producer Jack has strategically set up the answers that he's been given in the phone order whatsoever. Phoebe didn't bring much, apart from massive feet and leather sandals. She'd have huge planks. Those 9/10 dresses, a little bit dorky, cock the head to one side. Played guitar, but come on.
She can just be killed off.
Yeah.
Get rid of her.
Imagine if you had a friend that played a guitar in the coffee shop all the time. You wouldn't be friends with them. You'd say, get out. I've still got five other friends. Bailey in Warrandart. Hello.
Hi, mate.
Yeah, good, thank you. Just chewing the fat about a potential friends reunion. Thinking five out of six ain't bad, and I think you'll agree.
I definitely do agree. I can, you definitely could have it with Fonda. And once again, I could get rid of Phoebe, maybe even Ross. Chandler, no chance to get rid of him.
Yeah, wow.
He's constantly, so you couldn't get rid of him.
Chandler is the wheels and the mechanics of that friend's car. Chandler is the bus. Without Chandler, you got no wheels.
No, he's not.
Phoebe's the spare tire at the back.
When I was looking for iconic phrases from each of the friend's characters, he was the hardest one to find. He didn't have any.
Because everything he says turns to gold. Ross, I mean, why is Ross this animated?
Pivot! Pivot!
Of course, it's very easy to find his moment. The rest of, oh, Rachel, come to the museum with me, Rachel. Don't go, Rachel. God, what a sad sack of a friends man he was. No, across the board, everyone hates Phoebe.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
I have been thinking about this long and hard for the past 2 weeks. Just which Gold Logie nominee am I going to get fully behind and back them all the way and ride them all the way to Australian TV's Night at Night? And I thought long and hard, would it be the lovable Amanda Keller? Would it be Roger Corser? Would it be Neighbours' Eve Morey? Sam Mack? Not a chance. Tom Gleeson? Or Waleed Ali? Or could it be this man, Costa Georgiadis from Gardening Australia?
There's nothing intimidating about composting. In fact, it's a club that we can all join and it's free.
Yep. That's our man. That is our man. Apart from looking like a 50-year-old me, I very much like what he's got to do about the place. I mean, this has come from nowhere. People were scratching their heads at Costa Georgiadis. Most people, unless they are an ABC Gardening Australia aficionado, had no idea who he was. One look at the man, one listen to his dulcet tones, and you can immediately see that he's Gold Logie worthy. Never nominated for a Logie before, not even a silver. Straight to the top. But that's Costa. He doesn't do things by halves. And not only have I put my best foot forward in promoting and hoping that hashtag Costa for Gold takes off, so fresh. The lovable CD compilation company have also expressed their passion for Costa Georgiadis and released a special CD celebrating the Gold Logie nomination.
So Fresh presents the Costa Georgiadis from Gardening Australia's Gold Logie nominee edition. Throw your support behind everyone's favourite green thumb stowaway with these gardening bangers. Let's all vote for Costa for the Logie instead. The guy with the beard hair that covers his head. It's about time the man who
who's never pruned his face in his entire life gets the recognition he deserves with J-Lo's vote costed a win. Maybe if everybody votes, there is just a small glimmer of hope for the bearded bloke, vote for Costa to win. Katy Perry's Costa for gold, cause it's Costa for gold, that's who I vote for. A Logie Insight for TV's Night of Nights. Plus, be one of the first 200,000 people to purchase this CD and receive a free set of garden pliers and what it costs to Georgia artist's beard hairs. Costa wants to garden all the time, garden all the time, garden all the time. Celebrate the underdog and the least backed nominee on sportsbet.com.au with these tunes. With the bookies, he's an absolute smoky. For Costa Georgiadis for the gold Logie. But the R&B jams don't end there. Trim your bush with this jam. Vote Costa, he's the bearded man on gardening Australia. A licky boom boom now. Prune your hedges with Maroon 5. Where I live hasn't had any rain and my plants have lost all their leaves. Costa, can you come over? Cause there is a garden of overgrown trees. And let your blossom bloom with Robert Palmer. Costa, Costa, give me a view on whether I need to give this rose bush a prune. It's everyone's favourite gardener and ABC sex symbol, Costa Georgiadis. Costa for the Goldie. That beard's growing slowly, it's turning me on. Each CD sold will count as one vote for Costa Georgiadis in the TV Week 2019 Gold Logie Awards. So Fresh is not affiliated with Costa Georgiadis in any way. Costa Georgiadis does not endorse this CD, nor does Costa Georgiadis know anything about this.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Last week was bad enough with people taking the freckle test. This was a rumour getting around on Twitter that every single female on the planet had a freckle on one of their wrists. And what I didn't like about that is that people would take that as a fact, which is ridiculous. And then even if the fact didn't really like match up to their wrist, they try and justify it. So it wasn't too hard to go around the office and find a girl without a freckle on her wrist. But then because she wanted to be part of the crowd, she'd just go, oh, no, but mine's just a little higher up. Like, what, your arm? Yes. Okay, well, every single person on the planet has some sort of freckle on their arm somewhere. I've got a freckle on my wrist. Yeah, I thought it was just like the latest craze. Maybe we could all just move on with our lives. Until today, where there seems to be a new thing getting around. Apparently, every woman has a freckle on one of their breasts. Half the world's population has been swept up in this bizarre phenomenon. To be honest, freckles do little for me. The freckles are just Mother Nature's sprinklings of melanin. I've all sorts of people in their skin. I mean, freckle schmeckle, for all I care. Producer Jack's got a freckle on his face. I've never once talked about it until now. Brings me no joy.
Where?
Oh, awkward. It's like one time I accidentally told someone they had a lazy eye and they didn't realise yet. They must have just got it over the last couple of months and I was the first one to point it out to them. No, that's right. It's just tiny freckles. That's fair. Everyone's got tiny freckles on their face. If you had a big mole or something on your face, that's where the fun would be. Love a big mole. Love a mole that stops you in your tracks. If you're walking past someone in the street, they've got some mass Cocoa Pop growth going on. That's the best. That's when Mother Nature really takes a turn. Celebrating the moles tonight on 131060. My best friend in grade 5, he had a mole on his thumb, but it wasn't like just a little freckle thing. The mole was at least as big as his thumb tip. So it looked almost like a chocolate stain. And there wouldn't be a month that would go by where someone wouldn't question his, and accuse him of having something on his thumb. He'd always have to have the awkward conversation, no, it's just a mole. And people are like, oh, okay, all right, fair enough. Well, the world will keep on spinning. I used to date a girl. Very self-conscious she was about an awkward sort of three-dimensional raised mole on her buttocks. I loved it. Give it a little flick. Don't know why she was so self-conscious about it. She hated it. I said, come on, if you hate that mole, imagine, Mother Nature's done you a favour. Put the 3D raised mole on her bum where no one can see it. Unless there's someone nearest and dearest to you who couldn't care less if you've got a mole on your bum. That's the ideal place for a mole. I want interesting birthmarks on 131060. I want big bulbous 3D Malteser moles. And I want the wine stains as well. What are those things? Are they just wine stains? Are they birthmarks? You know, those ones produced out, they're like a bit purpley, a bit purple and red.
Yeah, I think they're just birthmarks.
Are they really? Yeah, the red wine birthmarks as well. They won't go astray tonight. Where's your mole?
Last week there was a wrist freckle test. Now apparently there's a freckle on each girl's breast. A big mole on the thumb or hidden on the bum. Where's your unique mole, my friend?
Yeah, where is your unique mole, my friend? 131060. Big moles, birthers, red wine stains. No need for freckle chat. Boring as batshit.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Last week there was a wrist freckle test. Now apparently there's a freckle on each girl's breast. A big mole on the thumb or hidden on the bum. Where's your unique mole, my friend?
It puzzles me that the freckle thing is taken off. It was all in the wording. Oh, every girl's got a freckle on their wrist. Oh, let me check my wrist. I'm a girl. Oh, yeah, there it is. Let me reshare it. But it's viral marketing that's doing the heavy lifting and not the skin pigmentation. Much more fun to be had and a lot more interesting to chat about the big marks, the big three-dimensional hairy moles on people, the wine stains, the big spreads of skin. I've got a birthmark on my left arm. Looks like the United Kingdom. Missing Ireland and Northern Ireland, though. Kelly on the Gold Coast. Let's talk big marks on the bod.
So I've got one on my inner right thigh, and it's like two different coloured.
Wow. Are we talking mole or bertha?
It's a birthmark.
Yeah, right. Two different colours. Talk us through this.
Yeah, so it's one's like lighter than my skin tone and one's like a shade darker than my skin tone.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. And does it fade into lighter territory or there's a clear line in the sand?
Clear line. Wow. Clear line.
God. I mean, I was careful not to ask this question because I didn't want it to seem like this was just a slow play to get girls to send me pictures of their skin. But I wouldn't mind a DM of that on the Danny Lakey Late Show Instagram. Wouldn't mind just seeing...
You may get one.
Wouldn't mind just seeing the colour differential and just how the body has decided to work. Skin's an amazing thing. Thanks, Kelly. Evelyn in Kingaroy. What you got?
Hi, how are we?
Blissful.
Thanks, man. I have a nice 3D mole on the centre of my forehead.
Yes! Great. 3D because there's two types of three-dimensionals in this world. There's one where it's slightly raised and there's one where it's like a big Malteser and you can rotate it on its little axis.
Not quite as big as a Malteser, but you can definitely grab it with your fingers.
Yeah, wow. And, I mean, with enough force, not that I'm employing this at all, but could it be yanked off? I'm just trying to gauge how deep the mole is here.
Oh, probably.
Wow.
Yeah.
Brown in colour?
Yeah, dark brown. Noticeable. It's there. Mm.
Interesting. Now, let the moles gallivant around in their own molar universe, I say. But you are aware that you could eliminate that yourself with a piece of dental floss in 10 days.
Doesn't bother me. I've had a heap of other moles removed, but that one, that's me.
That's character defining. Yeah.
That's it.
I knew a girl had the exact same. It wasn't as 3D as the sounds of yours, but it was very similar. It was like, you know how Indian ladies, they have that red dot? Hers was like a brown dot, and she was just a white girl.
Yeah, that's exactly the same as mine, but yeah, raised.
This is great. I mean, once again, the olive branch is extended to you. If you'd like to send a photo to the Danny Lakey Late Show Instagram page, I will not decline the message. Thank you, Evelyn. Ray in Gruen. Wrap this up on 131060. What's your marks?
I've actually got a port wine birthmark on half and close.
Whoa! That's a big wine spill. That's a whole goon sack that spilled over.
Yeah, it's a doozy. It actually goes internal and external. It's half the nasal passage, half the back of the throat, ear passage.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a doozy. I thought it was one when I actually heard you talking at my interest.
Look, was it... I assume you're born with that as well.
Yeah, it's actually a port wine birthmark.
Does it spread? Or does it just sort of grow in comparison with the face?
Mine's actually getting smaller over years. I mean, when I was born, it was actually literally half my face going over the top of my forehead.
Yeah.
I'm now basically in my late 40s, and it's about 3/4 of my face.
God, it's slowly getting cleaned up.
And that's slowly over the years is getting smaller. But as I said, it was literally half the face as a kid. about three quarters now.
That's great. Very interesting. Producer Jack, this is Tip Tim over the edge. He's actually just wrote on his little screen, can you please get him to send that to the Danny Lakey Instagram page? Would love for you to slide into the DMs, Big Ray.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Very glad to have Shuey Louie here, my psychic, my confidant. Just want you to confirm whether or not this is an across-the-board sexy gesture, because something happened over the weekend with my latest new squeeze. And something came out of the blue. I did something, and I think you know where it ends. All of a sudden, out of the blue, she suggested that sort of setup. First time I stayed over hers, right? And probably about 9 a.m. in the morning, we were just about to go get some brunch. I said, "Oh, just nip off. Oh, just go to the toilet quickly." I said, "Yeah, no worries." Quickly nipped into the bathroom. Obviously, just a number one, sneaky one. She lives in a house full of females. Her and two other chicks. So yeah. The toilet seat was down. I go in.
All females, makes sense.
Do me number one. And then because I'm absolutely piss scared of one of her roommates.
She got a bit of chewed, a bit of sass.
Yeah. No one of those ones that just makes you feel uneasy in the house.
Yeah. Hate that.
Trying to make a good impression on her roommate, really. So I put the seat back down. Mm-hmm. I'm very hyper aware of what I do at the moment. I make sure I don't leave my shoes around, make sure I don't, you know, not a nuisance to the house. The main squeeze then goes to the toilet quickly for her number one. She comes back out and goes, "Did you put the toilet seat back down after you went to the toilet?" I said, "Yeah, of course." I've never seen her so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed in all my life. She just looks at me and goes, "Who are you?" With the most admiration she's ever, ever said about anything. Like I'm some sort of superhuman man that never has ever done that before. So considerate. Yeah, so confident in his way.
That's because so many men leave it up. Like, I'm even quite impressed you do that, Lakey.
Well, I only did it because I'm petrified of the room, mate. Really. That was the front and centre thing. I couldn't believe. Now, I've seen the adoration in her eyes, seeing the enthusiasm she had, realising that the second she said, "Who are you?" decided to jump my bones and have a sneaky 9 a.m. I thought, hang on a second. Is this some sort of simple hack? I mean, does it mean that much to you? Is there some sort of sexy, other sexy gestures that I could add to my portfolio that will mean instant lovemaking? I had no idea.
It's very gentlemanly, is that a word?
Mm-hmm.
Of you, because not a lot of men are thinking to do that in a lady's house.
13, 10, 60. Preferably the ladies. The lads will be listening in with a clean ear here. Are there other sexy gesture hacks that I can perform for more lovemaking rewards?
Are there more sexy hacks? We want to know more of these little hacks.
Because to be honest, I think we're only human. The more rewards we get, we're like little dogs. If we get a little reward, a little treat, a little schmacker,
here's a bone.
We'll be doing it more. I'm never leaving the toilet seat up ever again.
Ever.
All it takes is one little reward. Are there other gentlemanly sexy gestures?
Do you know, I've got one that I find gets me going like it. I love it when a man holds the door open for me. You know, like if you're... I actually remember one time Lockie and I were leaving a restaurant or something.
Your new boyfriend, the stockman.
You'd not call him that. Yeah, then open the door for me. You know, like lovely gestures like that. Wow.
Was this a restaurant sort of setup, at home, a car door? What sort
restaurant.
Of door was this? Really? You telling me this applies to any doors or just restaurant doors?
No, all doors. All doors. Wow. Men take all doors.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is true. So I'm going back the other way. I was thinking with the whole feminism thing, maybe you can hold the doors for us or something. If we stick with the doors, rewards and sexy smackos will ensue.
Sexy smackos.
Now this is big. This is real big. 13, 10, 60. Looking for extra sexy gestures for the portfolio because, to be honest, this girl that I'm seeing at the moment, she lives in an apartment. Going to hold the elevator door open for her.
There you go.
There we go. Then she'll open the door to her house and I'll hold that one as well. Then right into the bedroom. If I can beat her to it, I'll hold that one as well. Sexy gestures. Little hacks. What are they? 13, 10, 60.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Are there more sexy hacks? We want to know more of these little hacks.
I really do want to know more of these sexy gesture hacks and these little acts that I can do. Because monkey see, monkey do. I never realised. I always thought, I've heard of the narrative, oh, typical my man never puts the toilet seat back down. Oh, can you put it down for me? I always thought that was just like stereotypical couple banter. Could not believe it the other day when my new squeeze looked at me with more love than she'd ever looked at me before for putting the toilet seat back down after use.
It's true.
Jumped my bones like it was 1999.
It's so annoying when men don't do that. So when it happens, it's like eye-opening. Wow.
God, I'm an impressive man. What can I say? Mm. I'm very happy to do things for little secret snacko treats. You were saying before the moment you fell for the Stockman, your latest boyfriend. Your latest, sorry.
My boyfriend.
Your new boyfriend. You don't churn and burn them. You loved that he held the door open for
you. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it.
Because once again, we've heard that that's the gentlemanly thing to do, and yes, you do it, but I don't think us lads had any idea what a panty dropper it was.
Start holding the door. Start holding the door, Lakey.
Shannon, on 131060, yeah. Sexy gesture. You got one that I can add to the portfolio? Because I'm holding doors and putting down toilet seats left, right and centre now.
Definitely. You need to cook a dinner without being asked to.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, they always need to be asked, don't they, Shannon?
I have been known to be prompted and prodded for a dinner, yes. I mean, I'm happy to order Uber Eats without running it through anyone else's filters and preferences. Mm-hmm. Is this the same thing or I must cook from scratch?
No, definitely not. You've got to cook it yourself.
Interesting. I think I can handle that.
Get the hot pan going, Lakey.
I think I can grill a Tassie salmon this weekend, guys. Not bad. Interesting to know, ladies of Australia. Natalie in Canberra. Yeah, what's the sexy gesture hack?
Doing something nice for someone else. So my husband and I went out for a date and he ended up inviting a homeless kid to join us for dinner. So he'll often just do things for the homeless people around us. He'll just go buy them something random or something to eat or something warm because it's cold here. But yeah.
Great. I mean, it feels a little sinister that I'd start doing that just for pants to be dropped. But I think I've got enough mongrel in me. I think I could still get away with it.
Here's a loaf of bread.
Anyway, just doing it.
Yeah. No, I should. I should. You're right.
Double points because you're doing something good for someone and then you may get a little something.
And you know what? We are going...
We're
going into the city. We're going into the city this weekend and I'm going to stock my pockets full of coins. In fact, I'm even going to put a $5 note in there.
Yeah, go on.
And I'll put them in the note. I'll be getting laid before we get home.
You will.
I'm missing the point slightly.
Yeah, but please.
Two goods still. Two goods. Gabby, on 131060, what's the secret gesture hack that can get us men some more time in the boudoir?
You know the beer rings that come in like a 6-pack of beer, holding it together? I found my partner cutting them up before he threw them out so penguins didn't get stuck in them.
Oh, bless.
Ultimate alpha. Whoa. What I like about this is you can tell that this is a man's natural response because he didn't really even do it for Gabby who just stumbled across it.
Yeah, it was sweet.
I think that's part of it, isn't it? I've got to make sure that my main squeeze is within an earshot and an eye shot, but
just
pretend that I don't
see you from afar.
Yeah.
Like refilling the ice in the freezer. Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's another great one.
I'll just be hanging by the kitchen just waiting for her to come out of the bathroom. This ice. How do I do the ice again, babe? Oh, yeah, these are good. These are real good. I'm going to be busy this week.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Doing the show live from a bench at the moment with Shuey Louie's Tricep Dip Challenge.
How are you feeling down there?
Good.
Good. Show us a tricep dip.
If I just move out a little bit.
Oh, yeah, you're quite good at it.
I don't want to brag, but I could easily go at least 20 or 30 dips like that. I don't understand why everyone at the office today was struggling with that. My legs are taped to a bench.
The tape
is doing nothing to restrict my triceps, which is what I don't understand about this bloody challenge.
You're usually quite onto it.
You can check it out on Instagram. Like, check out my gut. Get the pump, geezer.
Lakey,
get in there. Get in on my triceps.
It's quite concerning that you haven't even thought that maybe there's something else going on behind this.
Last week, we found out. Lakey hates tickling.
You're out there laughing, running. I love tickling my partner.
What the hell are you tickling for?
But let me make this clear, I don't want to be tickled.
But his big mistake.
Do you have a spot, though?
My spot is on the soles of my feet.
Watch your back, Lakey.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're all taped up. There's nothing you can do. You know what's about to happen.
No, you absolute sinister bitch. You know I hate tickling. Do not do this. I'll tell you, you know that.
All
no,
right, I'm
seriously,
getting ready.
Seriously,
I'm getting ready to
seriously,
chuckle.
Don't. You know that meeting we had at the start of the year where there are certain boundaries. So I discussed that I won't get my hair cut live on the air and I'm not shaving. We're adding a third. I'm serious.
No, this
do
is
not,
happening.
Do not.
I'm about to tickle your feet. If you want to see this, it's on the Danny Lakey Lakey Instagram live.
Chewy, seriously. You have,
no swearing either, Lakey.
You have the spiders. Producer Jack has the snakes. I have my haircut and the ticklet. Don't tickle. Do not tickle. Don't. Oh, don't! Stop! Stop! Stop!
Cannot deal with that.
Stop. Don't. Thank you. Very
He's
good.
He's giving me a look. It's enough.
You absolutely. That is so sinister, guys. That is so sinister. Not cool.
Ooh, now I got your toe gym. Oh,
yeah, good. Jesus Christ. Dominant brand game up next. Oh, payback's going to be sweet, Shuey. Jesus Christ.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
World faces looming Nutella shortage. The supply chain of the dearly loved spread Nutella could be under threat as international workers strike over pay negotiations. We've been hearing that over the last couple of days. Inside the world's largest Nutella factory at Normandy in France, activists have been blocking trucks from entering and leaving the site for the past week as salary debates rage on. So the factory can pump out 600,000 jars of Nutella every day. That's what that's what the factory can pump.
That's a lot of Nutella.
It is a lot.
I could eat 10 of those.
Can you imagine 8-year-old Chewy Louie let loose without a restraining leash in the Nutella factory?
I would be found like in I'd be in the jars.
Yeah, you'd put Augustus Gloop to shame.
I would.
You'd probably eat Augustus Gloop as well.
I would.
Chunky monkey 8-year-old Chewy Louie. Hefty old lady for those playing along at home. Over a week of strikes, that's 4.2 million jars that aren't making their way into the world, which is a lot of Nutella.
It's so sad. Nutella with a bit of butter on it, a white toasted bread.
Let me make this perfectly clear before I get into this.
I love Nutella. I love Nutella, Nutella. I love Nutella. I love Nutella, Nutella.
I love Nutella, man.
I do love Nutella. However, if you become reliant on such a mainstream spread, I'm talking your Nutellas, your peanut butters, your Vegemites or your jams, all of a sudden, once there's a big strike, you find yourself up shit creek without a paddle. Us more enlightened beings who are interested in alternative spreads, we meet up every second Tuesday and we discuss our alternative spreads, and it's called Lakey's Interesting Spread Club. And we don't need to worry about Nutella shortages or peanut factories burning down because we like other things. Lemon butter, perhaps? Classy.
But that's like a once a month. No, once every 4 months you'd have lemon butter.
Not if you're hanging out in Lakey's Interesting Spread Club, mate.
Interesting spreads. Interesting spreads. Call me. Call me. Call me.
My club. I'll do as many geese sound effects as I like. Yeah, no, we meet every second Tuesday in 131060 if you're rocking an alternative spread because it's a great way to start the day. Yes, 99% of the population living their mainstream dream with Nutellas and peanut butters, but there are other things out
I'm
there.
I'm a Nutella girl, but I think I've got one.
Yeah?
I think I can be part of your club. Do you know what I like on a piece of toast?
What?
Very controversial. Tahini.
Welcome.
Yes! I knew it!
Get on in!
Open that door, I'm coming round!
Tahini on toast.
Yeah.
Don't mind it. It's an interesting alternative lifestyle you're living on the spread game. Producer Jack the other day, I don't know if you're here or not. Were you here when I ate the humble pie? Oh, you were.
Yeah.
Or when I didn't eat the humble pie. But he got some chicken and liver pate. He'd never seen it in his life. And he's like, oh, have a taste of this. I was like, what are you talking about? Have a taste of that. I'm keeping that after the show.
No, you didn't.
Chicken and liver. Yeah, chicken and liver spread.
No, like, it's a pate. That's like, no, it's a wannabe pate.
Alternative spread. And I've got plenty of brothers and sisters at the Interesting Spread Club who can back me up on that one.
Not that one.
131060. Are you living your life in an interesting sort of spread way? Kicking off your day with something different. Calls on the air next.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Interesting spreads. Interesting spreads. Call me, me.
Seagulls from Finding Nemo when they go, mine.
Yeah, that was the look I was going for.
Well, you nailed it.
These are the sort of extracurricular activities that we do at Danny Lakey's Alternative Spread Club.
Well, I'm part of it now with my tahini on toast.
You are. We very much like your free thinking
ideas.
Thank you. Starting your day with a garlicky twist. I bet the stockman loves that.
Lakey.
I'm privy to start my day with some anchovy and chicken liver paste.
Oh, that's criminal. I think you should be kicked out of your own club for that.
It's pate in a jar.
It's not pate in a jar. It's luncheon mushed up with dog food, probably.
They call me Salty Samuel, and I start my day with a salty kick. This is the kind of judgment that I feared in my Alternative Spread Club. Lemon butter. There's many different ways you can skin this cat. Just not looking for your standard peanut butter warriors. Your plastic
peanut. Love me peanut
butter. Go join the 9-to-5 brigade if that's your thing. Amelia on 131060. What's your alternative spread?
Mayonnaise and cucumber.
Well, it sounds very juvenile, but you also sound like a juvenile lady. How old are you?
I'm 11.
You know what? This is the kind of free-thinking sort of attitude we need. And although you are 11 and you won't be able to come to the monthly Alternative Spread Club parties because there's a whole RSA thing and responsible service of alcohol, things get a little rowdy, you can come every Tuesday. And I welcome you with open arms, mayonnaise and cucumber, as disgusting as it sounds personally.
Thank you.
Thank you indeed.
I quite like the sound of that.
Mayonnaise and cucumber.
I love my cukes.
You do love a cuke.
Love a cuke.
You don't mind a bit of mayo with your cuke as well.
I'm going to try it after the show.
Kendall in Reevesby. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the Alternative Spread Club. We'd be happy to have you if you've got an alternative spread that you kick off your day with.
Mustard on hot buttery toast.
Oh, you can hear the passion.
Like mustard that you'd put on a sauce.
Yeah, on
no,
top of...
girl,
yeah,
no,
Dijonais no. mustard or American mustard, it's delicious.
Yeah.
I like whole grain. I'd maybe contemplate that, but with something else.
Do you lay it on... How thick are you laying it on? What's your butter to must ratio?
Oh, quite thick. I like a bit of, you know, mustard on there.
Yeah, okay. That's not a true ratio, but I'm imagining a 70-30 at this stage. It's great. It's perfect for the Alternative Spread Club. Nicole and Rocky.
Hello.
What's your alternative spread?
My husband has brown sugar on hot buttered bread.
Technically not a spread, but I do like them thinking outside the box.
I'll let
more
it pass.
More of a smear. But
yeah,
I like it.
It melts in. The brown sugar melts
it would,
in, but becomes
right.
a spread.
You're right. It would be.
Yeah,
it would
with
sort
all
of turn
the
into
butter.
Like treacle.
It's like you could almost mix the butter and the brown sugar and make your own.
He's making his own honey is what's going on here.
Correct.
I like it. I like it a lot. Unfortunately, it wasn't you who came up with the spread. It was your husband. So awkwardly, your husband's invited without a plus one.
Sorry, Nicole. Rules are rules.
Thank you.
Nigel in Victoria. Hello. What's your alternative spread?
Strawberry and feta cheese.
Simple man with simple taste.
Is that strawberry jam and feta cheese?
Correct.
And how long have you been doing this for, Nige?
I've been working such a long time and paying for my strawberries and my feta cheese just so I can have it every morning.
This is a man who is working to maintain a spread lifestyle, and it's a trap that we've all found ourselves in from time to time. That is unfortunately why I had to downgrade from lemon butter to chicken and liver paste.
It's about 70 cents of Coles.
Had to take a pay cut. You know as much as the next man, Nigel, that you got to work hard if you want to keep that strawberry jam and feta cheese lifestyle up. Keep fighting the good fight.
I am doing well.
You are doing well.
Samantha in Sydney on 131060. Alternative Spread Club. We've got a whole heap of people here. A lot of weird, interesting members. Samantha.
Hi.
Yes. What's your spread?
My spread is Nutella and tomato on toast or having a sandwich.
I was ready to get the bouncers and kick you out because we don't want any Nutella nuffies in this club, but you've added the tomato.
This is good because I do peanut butter and tomato and get so much shit for it. So I can back you up on this and say that I reckon Nutella would be good.
Do you know what? It really is. It must be the salty, sweet type, like savory thing, but it actually works and it's a treat. I cop so much slack for it, but I live by it.
There is a small little legion of tomato lovers that congregate in the corner of the club.
We have to stay together.
Agreed. I'm there with you, sister.
Kyle in Newcastle on 13 10 60. What's
the
spread?
How you going?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Alternative spreads?
Yeah, mate. Pickled mangoes with squashed hard-boiled eggs, mate. Put that on toast.
Too far for us, Kyle. I'm putting my foot down, Lakey. He's not allowed in the club.
Wow. Well, you heard the lady. Yeah, it's too much for her.
Pickled mango and egg, that ain't a spread. That's a criminal piece of toast.
And she has the tomato and peanut butter, but not allowing pickled mango and egg boys into the club.
Mm-hmm.
The tribe has spoken, I'm afraid, Kyle.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
To be honest, don't know if we should play this music. This is more of a curious conundrum kind of setup. Thank you.
Sorry.
I've been shutting my eyes between 3:30 and 6:30 over the past couple of days. And you may say, what kind of lifestyle are you living, mister? Well, a pretty hectic one at the moment.
I've been setting alarms for you just in case. I mean, petrified you won't wake up.
I've had to be doing a little project in the morning, just working at other times, which means I'm up at 7 a.m. at the moment.
It's early.
You're not home till 11, and by the time you get to bed, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, just a little shut eye during the middle of the day. And I'm being very tetchy about the words that I use because over the past 2 days, it's become very apparent that I thought I was having a nap. And the more I've been grilled by certain members in the office, people realise, no, I think what you're having there, sir, is a sleep.
Absolutely. Two and a half to 3 hours.
Easy.
Some people get 3 to 5 a night. It's their whole sleep.
I am shutting my eyes at work in the first aid room for a couple of hours. It's very cozy in there.
I know, I wandered down, saw your little blanket.
It's very nice.
Little bed.
It's a nice little setup I've managed to carve out.
Maybe get rid of your room and just live there.
See, I've thought about it. I've thought about renting it out to some sort of Asian uni student and just living here. I mean, the overheads where I get to use the bathrooms and the toilets, stealing people's refrigerated food, it works for me. It's a lifestyle that I've grown accustomed to. But I guess just on 13 10 60, we're just trying to figure out what properties, what ingredients constitutes a nap, and when does a nap turn into a sleep? Because I was under the impression that I was in safe nap zone. I thought 3 hours nap every day of the week.
It's a full snooze. If I'm having a nap, I'll often put on my eye mask and I will set an alarm for an hour later. I'll hop into bed, I'll pull the blinds, put my eye mask on, set the alarm for an hour later.
So you're saying that anything more than an hour and 1 minute goes into sleep territory.
It's full. You're going to sleep. Wow. You're going straight none eyes for the day.
I've always raised, if it's less than 3.5, you're in the nap zone.
No.
Absolutely not.
No, Lakey, that's a full night's sleep.
If you had 3.5 hours sleep overnight, you'd say you slept terribly.
It'd
be unfair to say that was a sleep.
But you know, scientifically, you're not meant to sleep longer than 45 to 90 minutes at the very most. That's a nap.
Well, for a nap.
Sorry, for a nap.
Right. So the science would say over an hour and a half, all of a sudden that's asleep. You say over an hour is asleep.
All right. I'd push it to an hour and a half. Very, very tired day.
Am I sleeping or napping? And where do we draw the line on 13, 10, 60?
What constitutes a nap? What constitutes a nap? What constitutes a nap? What constitutes a nap?
Hey, what constitutes a nap? I mean, can't a man have a nap for 3 hours?
No, because you're having a full snooze.
I think it really depends on the location of where you're taking a little nap. Like, if you're getting into bed, that's asleep.
No.
If you're having a little nap, you have a little doze off on the couch, or you're, like, sitting in your car waiting for someone, you decide to have a little nap, that's fine. But if you're getting into your own bed in the middle of the day, that's slander.
So that's what I would do.
So you're saying there's a hint of spontaneity with the nap. Something
yes.
that almost isn't planned, or something that, I mean, you know, no one's aiming to sleep on a couch for 8 hours. The couch in nature is the nap. Whether it's an hour, maybe 2 hours, that's still a nap. Two hours on the couch is still a nap.
Yep, you fall asleep on your armchair outside in the sun.
A lot of questions. A lot of questions to be answered. 131060, what constitutes a nap? What constitutes a sleep? And is there some middle ground that I'm hitting? 131060.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
What constitutes a nap? What constitutes a nap? What constitutes a nap? What constitutes a nap?
Quite some hurtful allegations over the past couple of days. I've been having to get up early for a second job at the moment.
Side hustle.
Yeah, got a little bit of the side. Not getting paid for it, actually, which is a little bit bizarre. But I am having to have a nap during the day from 3 till 6. It's to reset me, to get me back to tip-top shape for the Danny Lakey Late Show, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. weeknight. What I don't like is that people have now been accusing me of sleeping rather than napping.
Lakey, you are sleeping. You're 2.5 to 3 hours. Like, there is a full snooze. A nap should be 45 to 90 minutes at the most.
It's interesting that the person who is in the building from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. is being tarnished as the lazy sleeper during the middle of the day. It just doesn't flow
very
well.
Very lazy behaviour.
I'm working very hard and I just feel people saying he's been sleeping is a lot different to the reputation I'd have is that, oh, he's just having a little nap. Oh, hard worker needs a nap. Yeah, nice. Oh, he's just having a sleep. Oh, yeah, that'd be right. That explains why he's doing such long hours then. He's at a sleep. He's all recharged.
I've been telling everyone this, but where's Lakey? He's just sleeping.
Don't say that. Yeah. I'm napping.
No, you're not. You're sleeping.
Sneaky naps. Joe, in Port Macquarie, what constitutes a nap?
Well, a nap is definitely no more than 45 minutes. Anything more
Thank
than
you,
that
Joe.
Is sleep. Sorry, I'm not calling you lazy because I nap 3 times a day myself.
Wow. You got the triple nap going on. Okay. See, I always
here's
thought...
Here's my issue. 3 times a day you're napping.
Yeah, I work 3 jobs.
And 45 minutes each nap.
No. I might nap for max half an hour.
See, I thought if you've got a 30-minute max nap, that's a kip.
That's just closing your eyes.
A kip is just closing your eyes. Yeah, it's just being awake and aware of what's going around, but you're closed your eyes.
Yeah, no, see, if you go into an unconscious state, I always thought that was still a kip. It's if your eyes are closed, but you're still conscious, that's a doze.
Too many words.
Very messy. Very messy. Let's not open a can of worms whether or not Joe is dozing, kipping, or napping.
Too
Michael
many.
In Benalla on 131060. What do you think? What constitutes the nap?
It is definitely a nap. Doesn't matter how long it is.
Great. So, what is constituting a nap in your book, then?
Well, a nap is a short sleep that you have when you're feeling tired. Doesn't matter when it is, as long as it's during the day and not at night time.
Ah, right. There's the kicker. The last bit of information is very crucial because what Michael was describing was just everyone going to sleep.
it is when you close your eyes
when feeling tired to recharge and reset the body. I see. If it's outside of your normal sleeping pattern, it's a nap. Doesn't matter how long.
So you're saying that's you could wrong. Sleep for 6 hours during the day?
No, you could nap for 6 hours.
You could nap for 6 hours.
Yeah, you could sleep for 8 hours overnight and then nap for another 8 during the day.
Words.
Now, I understand. I understand. It's outside of your normal sleep rhythm. That's fine. You know what I'm edging towards. I think I've found the middle ground, and I think what I'm having is a slumber.
A slumber party by yourself?
Yep. I'd rather that. I'd rather be told, I'd rather you go around the office saying, oh, he's just in a slumber, rather than
everyone's
going to
be like, who's he having a slumber party with from 3 p.m.?
Maddie in Newcastle, what constitutes a nap?
G'day. I reckon 2 or more hours is a nap.
2 or more hours is a nap.
Yeah, like as long as it's on the couch. If it's in the bed, it doesn't count.
So what is 2 or less hours on the couch? A snooze.
No, now you're just like using words and making them what you think they mean.
No. There are subtle differences in consciousness and REM
That's
waves.
That's exactly it, yeah.
If
that
I
constitute
dribble,
snoozes, naps.
If I dribble, I know I've fallen asleep.
Well, you're having a nana nap if dribble comes.
Well, under 2 hours, I think like I'm still conscious enough to be able to like understand what's happening around me. But 2 or more hours, and I'm out. That's a nap.
Yeah, right. What we've understood is that these are words that are getting thrown around, but no one has a definitive answer. Tammy, on the Central Coast, what do you think?
I've been told from other studies that the average power nap is around 22 minutes.
Great. We've got a reference, guys. We've got an official reference.
Tammy's citing it. She's referencing it.
Nice. Let's use the Chicago referencing system, guys.
Please do. Put that down the bottom of your essay.
Sneaky university joke. That's great. More than 22. I'm in the... Look, you know what I've had?
You're sleeping, Lakey.
Yeah, I'm having a siesta.
You're having a full-blown sleep at work.
I get it. The Mexicans have got it all right because I feel great after my three-hour siesta. It's a siesta to you from now on, madam. After 8:30 tonight, what were you selling as a kid? Texas Mayor, open for business, read the lemonade stand.
So, kids, cheers.
Cheers.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Okay, well, you can't shut down a lemonade stand in Texas. It's the law. Sisters Zoe and Andrea Green helped inspire the new law after their lemonade stand was shut down. It's bizarre that this was a law that has been plagued in Texas for hundreds of years, because when you think lemonade stands, you think American children. It's part of their tradition.
It's in all the movies as well. They're all making their lemonade, selling on the streets.
I'm glad that Governor Greg has come to the party and signed a law.
Governor Greg.
That prohibits police from shutting down children's lemonade stands. And in typical Governor Greg fashion, he's posted the video to Twitter. He signed what he called a common sense law with a celebratory tall glass of lemonade.
Here's a common sense law. It allows kids to sell lemonade at lemonade stands. We had to pass it because police shut down a lemonade stand here in Texas. So, kids, cheers.
Yeah.
On you, Governor Greg.
Thanks, Governor Greg.
We appreciate it.
Well done, Governor. He loved that cheers moment at the end. He was just building to that. Freshly squeezed lemonade, eye contact into the camera. He was filming it himself, by the way. Like, he set it up against like a little wall or something on his phone.
Old people on social media.
Cheers, Governor Greg.
So, kids, cheers.
Yeah, the child can make their money once again. Tax-free, and it's a fantastic lesson that you learn as a child. Memories are rich of me and my two friends creating our own lemonade stand back in the day, no doubt inspired by some sort of American child's movie, and we set it up some... boy came into the possession of about 20 or 30 lemons.
You're squeezing them on those old school.
Oh, yeah, we hand squeezed. Yeah, we did it old school.
Hard labour.
We got a shitload of sugar. I think we got some soda water or something. It just made our lemony concoctions, and with bold dreams of setting it up on the side of the road with droves and droves of people coming through. I think we were selling it for about 20 cents. The only customer that we ever got was just the weird girl who lived next door that we never played with. But that day she was our best friend because she just kept coming back with more shrapnel and
she
buying.
She was just begging her parents for coins.
Yeah.
Give me more.
She was the number one stakeholder in the lemonade stand. We sold all the lemons. We sold all the lemonade. I think we even made some purple punch in the end. She had a tummy ache by the end of the day, but we were about 80 cents richer each. It was fantastic. I went down to Red Rooster and bought myself a roast potato with my 80 cents.
A roast potato?
Well, that was the only thing that I could afford, but I wanted something physical to show for my actions that day. Bloody good gear. 13, 10, 60. What were you selling as a kid?
What you end up selling as a child.
Yeah, what did you end up selling as a child? The old lemonade stand. That's an oldie but a goodie.
Oh, mine was a different one. We just got this new dinosaur popcorn machine, and so the popcorn would come out of the mouth.
Great.
And you know me, I was a wee porker, age 8.
Oh, gee, you're a chunky princess.
Chunky princess. So I
stubby 8-year-old.
Got little Glad wrap bags, put heaps of butter and popcorn, and was selling them for 20 cents a bag.
Yeah, nice.
Buttery popcorn on the side of the road from the Deldons.
And the restraint that an 8-year-old porky Lulu would have had to
bags.
I bet you would have. You would have been lucky to break even by the end of the day. You would have licked that butter machine clean, though. Far out. Those stumpy old fingers. No drop of butter left behind.
Nothing.
Porky old Lulu, 13, 10, 60.
Porky old Lulu.
She was a big, hefty 8-year-old. She's really thinned down ever since then, though. Danny Lakey Late Show. What were you selling as a kid? Your own little childhood business. Maybe it was on the side, maybe it was in the schoolyard. Calls on the air next. Cheers.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
What you end up selling as a child.
What did you end up selling as a child? You can't shut down a lemonade stand anymore in Texas. It's the law, says Governor Greg.
So kids, cheers.
Yeah, lemonade stand open for business. Plenty of tax-free pennies to be earned from children across Texas. 13, 10, 60. What were you selling as a kid? I have fond memories of the lemonade stand. Shuey Louie has fond memories of licking those buttery fingers after a hard day of selling bags of popcorn.
Bags and bags of buttery popcorn.
Chunky old infant was old Shuey Louie.
We were known for it on Churchill Ave.
Wander really?
Down, see the
yeah,
fat
see,
girl with a bag of popcorn.
Go see the tubby 8-year-old. She'll hook you up with a bag. Simon in Melbourne, what were you selling as a kid?
At the age of 10, I used to brood rabbits and sell rabbits to the local butcher shop.
This is
rabbits?
Great. Yeah. Well, yep. There must be a small market for people wanting to eat small rabbits, I'd imagine. Like the chicken of the hutch, I hear.
Well, underground mutton, as they call it.
What, would you just catch them and then the butcher?
No, I used to breed them.
Yeah. Rabbits are rabbits have a... You hear they're rooting like rabbits or whatever?
Oh, so yeah, you're...
That's business. Right.
How much would you sell a rabbit for?
I used to sell them for $2.50 each.
Great.
Seems cheap. Oh,
yeah. And the butcher shop used to sell them for $5.
Everybody wins. The rabbit gets laid. Simon gets some money as a small boy. And the butcher keeps a roof over his head.
Makes a great
Everyone
profit.
Wins. I can't figure out anything that has lost in that situation. Chris.
Not even the rabbit?
No, not even the rabbit.
I think there's something about the rabbit.
No. Chris, in Queensland, what'd you sell as a kid?
Yeah, mate. I used to sell cans of Coke down at the skate park for $1.
Yeah, you so did.
Oh, you're making a profit.
You still are.
Yeah, but... The thing is, it took me a full year to save $160.
Did it really? So yeah, what was the cost price of each can of Coke? What was the profit margin?
I think it was like 60 cents.
Okay, and sorry, are you representing that $160 is a lot or not much? Because I do remember in the day that was a lot as a kid.
That was heat.
Yeah, right.
No, the thing is after that. The next year, that was when Vanilla Coke came out.
Great.
Oh. So I bought into that and sold that for $1.50.
Wow.
Chris, you're a bloody genius. Have you got a business of your own now?
Nah. Well, the thing is, there was a petrol station across the road that would sell them for $2 or so. And so, me being at the skate park, they didn't need to go across the road.
I just went on a rant and I had to stop.
We got it, Chris.
Please, I don't have any time for any gossip now.
I mean, to be honest, Shuey Louie did set you up for that one, asking more about the businesses.
No business for Chris, just his dreams of selling Coke.
I saw a gap in the market. I saw a place over the road that was selling it for $2. I thought, I can do $1.50 here.
Genius.
And the rest is history. Don't even get me started on the great Pepsi Max and Lime introduction of 2008. That's when things really took a turn for the
up. I'm about to click the rant button for you.
Ollie in the Central Coast. Hello.
Hey, how you going?
Good. What were you selling as a kid?
So me and my friend made handmade scrunchies and we sold a bunch of them and we spoke about how we were going to save up our money to buy those blow-up backpacks.
I love those.
Yeah, and then about... Half an hour later, we were walking home and the ice cream truck came and that plan went out the window.
Oh, yeah.
I still wear scrunchies. I got one right now. You should start the business back up. They're on trend.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, there's what children aren't being taught and what they don't realise is that you can get away with the novelty act of a child starting a business. Like, that's cute. Holly is a 30-year-old woman these days on the side of the road to be arrested for selling those scrunchies.
The crazy woman with the scrunchies.
There's a small window of opportunity that you can get away with selling stuff like that. Nick, on the Gold Coast, what'd you sell as a kid?
Yeah. I used to sell dried cinnamon noodles when I was in primary school with all my mates for $1.20 each.
That was great. My mum would never let me have the dry 2-minute noodles. I'd beg for a cake of dries. She never would let me do it.
So good dries.
Yeah, beef or chicken?
Well, actually, both. I started off with beef, and then it got popular, so I got both.
Yeah. Got options.
Once you've got a steady cash flow with the beef, you can branch out into the chicken.
You're good, Nick.
Yeah. Entrepreneur.
That was
an Aldi,
too. So 75 cents for a 6-pack.
Oh, genius!
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Danny Lakey Late Show.
The following content is of an adult nature, and it may make some listeners blush, say, "Oh my God," or even cause offence. feel free to turn the radio down in 3, 2, 1.
Dr. Nikki Goldstein is here, and we are talking about all things sex and relationship. Good evening to you. Happy hump day, Dr. Nikki.
Happy hump day. It's like our Christmas.
Like your new podcast. I like your new podcast, by the way. On podcast one,
available to download episode. Now.
Sex and Life.
Like I've created a new podcast. So my new episode.
The new episode on the podcast about women paying for sex. So two things. Why didn't you give me a call? And secondly, if there are men paying for sex and women paying for sex, why not they just meet up and not pay for sex together?
Okay. A, are you offering yourself out there to women that they can pay you for sex? Is that what you were trying to say with that first question?
100%.
Okay. You can get a discount rate from Danny Lakey. Call us. Second, it's not about just hooking up in general. It's about being able to have sex in an environment where there's boundaries, there's consent, there's good quality sex. The woman that I interviewed, you know, she had only had one prior sexual experience before she delved into this world.
How old was she?
Oh, she's in her late 20s.
Okay.
And what she said about that first experience is that she picked up this guy who was drunk and it was kind of really horrible. And she's like, I just wanted to experiment and have good quality sex and discover my own sexuality. And she's like, I could go out there online or I could go to a bar and I may be faced with the same kind of situation. So for her, she was paying for this guarantee of a good quality time. Mm. With respect, and she also had control. So she was able to say to these guys, okay, this time I really want to explore vaginal. The next time I really want to explore anal. You know, she was curious about a lot of things, and this was a way she was even getting her education as well by being able to ask these guys all sorts of questions but also experience it physically.
Did you speak to anyone else off the air who has sort of different mindset around paying a guy for sex and being a female?
Yeah, I feel like there's a few stereotypes. I was able to speak to a woman who was in an older age bracket. I was trying to say that really nicely.
Well, no, that's what I imagine. I imagine the women that would pay for sex would be 50, yeah. 60, a little bit portly.
Me too. Like someone, what? So this girl was 27.
Poor
hygiene. This girl was late 20s.
Varicose veins.
Oh, stop it. I have varicose veins. Doesn't They're stop hot. Me from getting laid.
No, I've talked about varicose veins before. That's one of the most unusual porn search genres I've ever typed in.
Okay, enough with the varicose veins. So the other woman that I spoke to was in her 40s. She was a professional. She was very time poor and she was paying for these experiences as nearly like a, you know, I don't have time for date, I still want companionship, I still want intimacy. So you do get certain stereotypes. The one that always surprised me is I've had a lot of male escorts tell me that one of their most common bookings is a couple.
Yeah, right.
Really?
So a couple that want to explore a threesome and they find that it's safer being able to put specific rules on it with someone that they're paying. So they say, okay, we feel safer with an escort than just picking up someone else. And I kind of do understand that. If you were going to explore, you want someone who understands boundaries. You know, but I was also able to talk to the male escort, which I loved, and I've got a flag that I was flirting probably the entire interview because he was just so captivating and I got to sit with him in person and I could really see the appeal of paying him for sex. Mm.
Well, it's interesting because you hear a lot of the, like, I've watched documentaries in the past where the women are paying almost for the boyfriend experience and the intimacy. But it sounds like this girl, who was 29 years old, is literally strictly paying for it for the sex.
Yeah,
and then hoping
and
to
the
get
experience
back into the dating world.
And the education.
And getting the intimacy back in the real life.
Yeah. She was using it to get a boyfriend. You know, you have those people that are using it for the boyfriend experience. You kind of felt like she was getting it to get into a relationship, to get that experience, to get that confidence. You know, as a woman, she said some amazing things about how it made her feel sexy, how she used these experiences to help her get over these body hang-ups. And when you hear her speak, you kind of can't argue with it. When the way that she articulated it, you think, why not? We seem to have accepted so much for men. You know, we talk about brothels all the time. They feel like they're on every corner. Why is it so wrong for a woman to do it?
Not wrong, just weird. Because
it's not weird. It's not weird.
Both of you could walk down the street right now and get laid. You could ask five men, do you want to come back to mine? And they'd all say yes.
Yeah,
unless they had a girlfriend.
You want a good-looking guy, or you want a guy that's... Like the guy that I interviewed on the podcast, right? He was this beautiful human being who you could just look at and think he was going to root you sideways, right? You know, like, that's what you're paying for. Not some drunken guy at a bar is going to slop up and down on top of you and be like, okay, I'm done.
5 seconds later. Yeah.
What's wrong with the old vodka slop? It's one of our best moves, guys.
No, Danny.
131060. If you've got a question for Dr. Nikki Goldstein, whether you want to weigh in on the ladies paying for the sex, the old switcheroo or not.
If you've paid for sex, call in, because women don't really talk about it a lot.
We'd love to hear those. We'd love to hear those calls. Producer Jack's thrown his hat in the ring with a question. Are you a girl who likes to receive dick pics? That was a conversation that we had today.
I love them. I think they're hilarious. But I show them to my friends, so don't send them to me.
Unsolicited dicky peas?
Yeah, if you send them to me.
Show us some.
No one
show us some
in the advert.
If you send them to me, I have every right to be able to show them to my friends.
This is true. 131060. If you've got a relationship question or a sexy question as well.
Sexy question.
Take the next on the Danny Lakey Late Show.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Danny Lakey Late Show, saucy content warning.
The following content is of an adult nature and it may make some listeners blush, say, oh my God, or even cause offence. Feel free to turn the radio down in 3, 2, 1.
Nikki Goldstein. We're just talking just before Dr. Nikki Goldstein about the new episode of your podcast, Sex and Life, available to download on Podcast One right now, about women who pay for sex, not the other way around, which is the more commonly one.
Why are you laughing at this?
It's bizarre. It is bizarre. I'm not saying it's wrong. It is bizarre.
No,
it's a
big
bizarre.
That women can get sex whenever they want. It's not true.
It is true. Well, it for most women.
It is true, but that's not what this is about.
I'm not saying it's about. I'm just like, I'm allowed to think it's a little weird.
Okay. Backwards-minded Danny.
I'm not a backwards man. I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. But it is a little weird. I'm so confident in my acceptance of this new trend that at least I can admit it's weird. Okay. You look at me in the eye and say it's not a little bit weird.
It's not a little bit weird.
Interesting. She looked to the left.
I did not. Anyway, okay.
Julie,
enough with you.
You have paid for a male escort.
Yes, I have paid for a male escort. I've just been a single mother and I get all these demands off me all the time. And I just decided one day that I was going to have a male escort come around and make some demands of my own.
Yeah, great. Was it the best sex you've ever had?
No, it wasn't. But I made him do dishes and washing and stuff.
Right. Was it worth
That's
the money?
Real foreplay.
Is it worth the money? Are there things you could get him to do that the average layman you pick up in a bar would not?
Oh, you got to nag them and stuff, so it's just way better when they just do it, you know, you're paying for them and give them a couple of demands and do this and go on and do that. And
what you did is pay for a cleaner and just had sex with him.
Well, it wasn't just the cleaner. I made him do a lot of other stuff.
Clean
but,
other things, Danny.
Cleaned out more pumps.
Yeah, clean everything
Julie,
else
did
as
you,
well.
Did you get him again, or was it just a one-off experience?
No, it was about 2 or 3 times, actually.
Yeah, wrong.
See, yeah, Danny, it's not so bizarre.
It's still a little bizarre. Like, you know,
formed a connection.
I'm on a few chat sites and there's a lot of offers and stuff. It just made it different and more exciting.
Yeah.
And I could feel I could be a little bit bossier. Yeah.
So. Would you recommend this to other women who, in Danny's ways, don't want to just go out and have some random sex? They want a good quality experience?
Oh, absolutely. They're like very caring and attentive and trustworthy and... I felt safe having you in my house instead of picking a bloke up from a nightclub and bringing him home.
There's my point, Danny. There is my point.
Absolutely.
Have I misconstrued my nouns and my verbs?
I agree.
Yes, but I'm just saying it's a bit like, that's funny.
But maybe
it
the is issue is that this should actually be more socially acceptable. We shouldn't actually be saying that this is so bizarre because we talk about it so commonly with men. So why not have this okay for women? If, you know, in this day and age when we're talking about consent and Me Too and boundaries, here is a way if a woman wants fun and sexual pleasure with no strings attached, that she's able to dictate the terms and have those boundaries in place.
This is just a little bizarre because a woman could dictate the terms on me for free.
Oh, but what guy do you know normally that you go to a bar and you'll bring him home and you'll say, hey, this is what I'm into, and next thing you know, he's trying to stick it where he shouldn't be sticking it?
Nah, no, there's a whole heap of us
That's
nice
what
guys
you do,
there.
Like it.
What are you talking about? Wandering fingers.
Shuli Louie, how many times have you picked up a guy and he's crossed your boundaries? hundreds. There you go.
Now we know.
Now we're lying.
Either Shuey Louie has picked up hundreds of men and taken them home, or it's
a
lie.
She might have.
I definitely have not.
Sky on the sunny coast. You've tried online dating, or you're in it right now, and you've got two guys on the go, and you're interested in both of them, but you feel a little guilty seeing two different people, correct?
Yes, that's true.
I wouldn't feel guilty at all.
I don't think you should in online dating. It depends. Have you been out on a date with both of them, or are you just chatting to both of them?
I've been out on a date with one of them. There was no hanky-panky, but I had a really good time. And I'm yet to meet the other one, but having completely different work schedules, we just don't get a chance.
Can I ask which dating site this was on, or is that too much information?
Bumble.
Okay. So I think these days when you meet somebody online, especially Bumble, Tinder, what's the other one, Blender, there is this assumption that you're talking to multiple people. So until you've had a few dates and you have that conversation of, hey, I don't really want to see other people, or the catch line is always, I've deleted my profile. Like, that's a good way of saying, I'm not looking for anyone else, but I don't want to be a dork and have that conversation about, hey, are we seeing any other person? Then you're free to do whatever you want. The whole idea is that you need to explore and experiment. Sometimes it's good to have comparison.
Yeah, you got a right to date as many people as you want until you're official and you have that conversation with someone else and they're on the same page.
Definitely.
Yeah, go for a third.
Just don't
Bumble
mix up
third,
the names, though. That's
get
what
10
gets
on there.
Get
yeah.
10.
Even look in your local adult classified and pay for a few male escorts, I say, just to really open up the umbrella. Because I'm all for it, guys, and it's not weird at all.
Do you think there's just a money tree sitting in everyone's backyard? You know, this stuff is expensive, too.
$50.
Maybe the government should subsidise this for women.
Yeah, thanks, Sky, for the call. And thanks, Dr. Nikki.
Thank you, Danny.
Well worth a listen at podcast1.com.au.
And it's not bizarre.
A little bizarre.
It's not bizarre.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
I love you.
Swipe left, swipe right. It's Australia's most love-matched radio segment. The Danny Lakey Radio Show's Radio Tinder.
Yeah, baby! As Australian lads and possibly ladies wait on Tinder hooks around the country, who is tonight's Tinder bachelorette waiting to fall in love with someone? Maybe literally, maybe metaphorically as a passive listener. It's time to meet 24-year-old Holly. Get around her.
Holly.
Enchanté.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, thank you. 5'3", it says here. Long black hair.
Yep.
this is great because usually we get a blonde, a brunette, or a redhead.
Yeah.
Very seldom is it black hair. Long black hair. I'm feeling like a more upbeat Wednesday Addams sort of vibe.
That's what I was imagining.
How would you describe, on a scale of Morticia to 10, how happy are you?
Morticia to 10?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm 9.
Yeah, good.
Good, Holly, great answer.
This is a great ratio that we've got going on. You're a barista and you love to party. You like going to bars.
Yes, I do.
Looking for someone who is fun, has tattoos maybe. You're into nice cars?
Yes.
And you're into a shorter guy? What's going on here?
She's small herself.
Not that short.
Well,
like, I mean about like 5 foot, like 8, 5'7" somewhere.
Okay, there right. Yeah, I mean, that's cool. I was imagining that you're into 30-centimeter high men, but unfortunately, we got to cut. Let's cut it off at 5'5" because there's a couple of short men out there that have been burnt in the past with their height.
She can accept a 5'5".
Yeah, because they can put on some heels on the first date. They can get up. Maybe a couple of platforms. We'll come up with a free pair of platforms so they can reach Holly. Well, she's 5'3". And they'll be fine.
That's perfect.
What I'm saying is girls who are into short men don't come along very often.
No, all girls say is they want a 6'2".
Yeah, and then all the tall girls like, hey, short girls, save some tall men for the rest of us. Sick of the scoliosis in my back, bending down, pashing 4'9" men. Anthony Kalia is hot and everything, but I've got to look after my posture. Okay, age-wise, what are we looking for tonight for your dream man? If you're 24.
Yep, I am. someone who's like, loves going out, needs to know how to take a joke.
Yeah.
The tattoos are a must. I'm a big sucker for tattoos.
All the boys with the sleeves, call up now.
Yeah, all those short boys compensating with tattoos. 13, 10, 16.
Well, and would you go, say, age 35, 40?
No, that's a bit too old.
Too old? 30.
Probably a bit younger than that, like 28.
28, and what's the youngest you'd go?
20.
Oh, wow.
I'm not that though from a 24-year-old. Yeah, you like a little short chihuahua man that you can put in your handbag.
Yep.
And the phones light up. Phones light up. The phones light up, light up. With short men with tattoos looking to be your beau of your ball. 13, 10, 60, if you like the sound of Holly. 24, 5'3", long black hair, barista. Loves to party and loves going to bars looking for someone who has fun, has tattoos, nice car. Don't be too tall. You crazy? You can take a joke as well. Holly, prepare those three questions for the three men that we'll meet next. Radio Tinder on the Danny Lakey Late Show. Lads, call now.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
I love you.
Swipe left, swipe right. It's Australia's most love-matched radio segment. The Danny Lakey Radio Show's Radio Tinder.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. We just met Miss Holly before, 24 years old, 5'3", long black hair. If you've got a real short stature and real long hair, where's the hair coming down to?
Just past my bra strap.
Okay. I was imagining more down near like the back of the knees.
Me too.
There's
probably
an unrealistic expectation that we did set. Around the bra strap. That's great. Right where it gets icky and sticky during a second date as well. Nothing like it. Tie it up, I suggest. Tie it up on the second date.
Don't tell Holly what to do with her hair, thank you.
You're right. It's 2019. Your hair, your choice. Let's meet man number one. You got your questions ready to go, Hollister?
I sure do.
Let's meet Jared. He's 23, works at a go-kart track, loves going out with the boys, the casino. He has a VESS ute. He works at the track and he can make your motor purr. Hello, Jared.
Hey, mate, how you going?
Good, thank you. Yeah, I mean, we could get to know you and date you till the cows come home. But both of us are in committed relationships. Small asterisk next to that. Talk to Holly instead. She's the one you want.
There you
go, Holly. Oh, God, awkward. Both over the top of each other.
One at a time.
What's your question, Jared, Holly?
What's your favourite position?
Sex position, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I mean, in a business sense or in a retail world, you might say 2IC. I like the extra annual salary, but the responsibility is still a little less, which really suits me at this time in my life. But yeah, sex position.
I would probably have to say doggy because I'm a little bit of an ass man. And you can dominate it a little bit more and have a bit more control as well, and I do like that.
Yeah, right. What do you think about that, Hollister? Swish your hair to the left, stick your butt out.
Oh, I think I could do with that.
Yes, yeah, good girl.
Although I think that'd be quite good. I'd be just staring at the pillows and he's staring at my bum. Nothing more of a romantic setting than that one. Yes, good. Two people acting like two dogs. Woof. Let's meet man number two. Here's Aaron. He's 24 years old, 5'11", loves singlets. Never graduated high school, has a tattoo on his arm of a dragon. Loves watching cricket and going out with the boys.
The boys!
Yeah, it's Aaron. Hello.
How you going, mate?
Yeah, good. Once again, me and Shuey Louie are in committed relationships. Small asterisk, it is Holly, the one you want.
Hey, Holly, darling, how are you?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad.
That's good.
Oh, fireworks. What's your question to Aaron?
If we were to go on our first date, where would you take me?
Oh, Aaron's done. Aaron's gone.
I wanted to know. I reckon he'd take you to some type of car rally.
Oh, that's disappointing. I don't even sense I feel he ran out of reception. I don't think that was stage fright. I don't think that was a prank call.
I reckon he was a farm boy.
Yeah.
He was out on the farm.
We're going to try to get Aaron back. But meantime, let's go to Nick. He is man number three, 22 years old, a lab technician, 5'9", multiple tats, athletic, loves going to car shows. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Hello, Nick.
Hey, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, good. Once again, me and Chewy Lou are in committed relationships. Small asterisk. Chat to Holly. She is the one you're after.
Hey, Holly. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, living the dream.
Oof! Fireworks! What's your question?
What's your biggest turn off?
Oh, it'd have to be biting your nails. I can't stand it.
Oh, I get my nails done, so that's not a problem.
Perfect!
Yeah, nice. What annoys you so much about the nails? Is it the lack of hygiene practice? Is it the just the look of it?
It feels like when they're doing it, they might not be comfortable like with doing or something like that.
It's like a nervous thing.
Yeah, that's it.
Jesus, well, I'll tell you what, Nicholas, you wouldn't be dating me because I'm nervous as all hell right now and have chewed my fingers down to a fine nub.
He has.
What was the story with Aaron, producer Jack, when you called him back?
I called him back and he said he loves huge C-O-C-K, so he must bat for the other team.
Now, unfortunately, producer Jack has kept calling him back because the C
Leave
word
him alone, Jack
really gets him going. Okay, well, look, it's just down to two. Look, some people are just hilarious and save their pranks for off-air with producer Jack and get them to relay back on the air. The classic way to do a prank. Holly, who's captured your heart? Man number one, Jared, works at the go-kart track. Or man number three, Nicholas, the lab technician. Hates you chewing your nails, but you don't chew your nails anyway.
I will have to go for man number three.
Man number three. This is good and this is big. One can only hope Nicholas feels the same way about you. Nick, Holly doesn't chew her nails. Do you take her to be your lawfully wedded Facebook girlfriend?
Oh, bloody oath. Let's do it.
Whoa!
Woohoo! We are on!
To the victor go the spoils.
Nick and Holly are on!
And you already know that she's a fan of doggy style sex and you didn't even have to ask it.
Perfect.
I know, it was a win-win for me, hey?
That is the perfect play tonight from Nicholas. Well done. Hey, you two acquaint yourself off the air. Exchange social media details. Invite us to the wedding.
You better.
At the car track at the showgrounds. Nicholas and Holly sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-M-G. First comes Nick, then comes Holly. She's treating it like a zupa-dupa lolly. Easy there.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Breaking news.
Australia's hottest radio host.
Breaking news now
have been revealed. And Lakey's not on the list. He is not happy.
Yeah, not sure about this article. Search for Australia's hottest radio hunks. The top 20 has been released so far. Shuey, can I just remind everyone, not just you, Shuey Lou, and producer Jack, that this is an ongoing top 20. This is a revolving top 20. So maybe a couple of super fans of some other shows have got the break on others. But cream will always rise to the top. Just because I'm not in the top 20 now does not mean that I won't be in the top 20 come the business end of the set.
I would probably go with it that you're maybe at like sitting maybe...
I've got it.
60? 70?
Shuey, come on. I know it's a bit of jest.
How many Instagram followers do you have?
1,900, I think. Just tipped over. 1,910.
Well, if you're up there a bit, maybe you've got the chance of hitting the top 20.
This is what annoys me. This isn't some little Instagram popularity competition. You've got to judge people on their actual hot looks themselves.
Maybe it's the beard.
Facial features.
Maybe it's the beard.
Exactly. What is the beard not bringing me up into the top 20? I'm a handsome, rugged fella.
Too rugged maybe for the top 20.
Got to be going top 30 at the moment. And that's
top 60 maybe, pushing it.
That's why we've got Paul Merrill, the big dog, the editor-in-chief of Take 5 magazine. Good evening to you, Paul.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Now, can you confirm that you have the full list of the search for Australia's hottest radio hunks ranked from one to however many
1,000
radio people there may be in Australia right now? You've got all the info, correct?
I do have all the info. So, we released our top 20 so far today. So as you pointed out, you didn't quite make the top 20. But when I was told we were going to be having a chat, I kind of looked down to see the situation. And so far, you've had 8 votes.
Get around me!
8 votes is great. Where does that put me roughly in the scheme? Is that top 30?
What we find is that when people mention it on their shows and point people to the Take 5 Facebook page to vote, there is a surge of support. So I think the more you can get behind it, the more likely you are to sort of climb into the top 20. We've got at the moment, there's about, well, last time I looked, there was about 70 and 80 people who've been nominated in total. So
I've gone top 80 already, guys. I've gone top 80 already.
I'd say you're probably number 80.
No.
See you last.
What really stings here at the moment, and you can see, Paul, dare I say that Ray Hadley has been meddling and getting all his listeners to vote, because he's at number 4. And are you a little like me, you sort of question the whole legitimacy of the competition when they had Dog 5000?
I guess people are voting for not just their body, it's kind of the whole package.
Not just looks. So
it's your voice, it's your sense of humour, it's the face, it's the body, it's the whole thing. Maybe you say your face is partially covered, so I don't know if that's affected your
chance. Yeah. It's half my votes. I'm only showing half my face, it's half my votes, obviously.
Exactly, that's why you're not on 16 votes.
We should make an allowance, shouldn't we? I mean,
Paul, you do have all the votes as of date so far. Can we just run through a couple of names on our network, and you can just give us a little inside word, a little whisper,
sure,
whether they've accrued any votes at all. Xavier Ellis. You spell Xavier with an X.
Ellis.
Oh, yeah, breakfast host, hit 92.9 in Perth.
No, I can't see him on the list.
Not a vote. I'm hotter than Xavier Ellis.
Yeah.
This is great. I'm hotter than an ex-footy star on a Metro breakfast show in Perth. This is great. What about Dave Anderson? He's on Hit 99.5 in Sunraysia.
No votes, I'm afraid.
Doesn't surprise me. He's got a small beard as well. He's competing in the same space, obviously.
Go.
I'm getting all of the beard.
Oh,
the
beard. My God, Lanky. Yeah.
This one, I've had my eye on this guy for a while, because he's actually quite the hunk, and he's got a very ripped body. This guy's called Josiah Shala, Hit Goulburn. J-O-S-I-A-H, does the breakfast show.
What's his surname?
Shala, S-H-A-L-A.
Josiah,
he's got long hair.
Let me just have a
long
look.
Hair like me. He's very similar to me. But...
oh, yeah. He's there. Yep. He's at one.
Yep. Hotter than Josiah, guys. This is great.
Well, you're not hotter than Dave Hughes or Carl Sanders.
Doesn't matter about that. They probably already plugged their thing on their breakfast show. I've seen Hughes' Instagram lately. What about Daniel Gaund, CFM Central Coast? Daniel Gaund, G-A-W-N-E-D, also known as Gaundy.
I can't see that name.
Yeah, got a bit of a moon face. It doesn't surprise me that there's no votes for Daniel Gaund. Look, this is great. Already hotter than at least five.
Lakey, you've got 8 votes. Come back down to earth, please.
You're doing pretty well. I think, you know, that's without... you haven't mentioned it before now. So now that you've...
Now he's going to go...
there'll be an onslaught. There's going to be a flood.
They're going to pour in. Yeah. They're going to just be flooding in. Yeah.
Every single voice break, he's going to go, hey, guys, don't forget to vote for me.
Mate, Australia's hottest radio hunk 2019 coming at you very, very soon. Paul, clear all your cookies in your search engine, because you're going to need a lot of space for the onslaught of votes.
All
the
tidal right, wave.
The tsunami of Lakey votes.
I will prepare myself for it. If you win, you get a sexy shoe.
Oh, good!
He's been going to the gym. He's been preparing for this moment for months.
Thank you, Paul. Dare I say, this won't be the first and last time that we hear from you over my campaign that I've immediately decided to start running. Take 5 Editor-in-Chief, and you can vote at the Take 5 Facebook page. Go, 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 go. Go do it.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
The time has come for producer Jax. Friday night gaming pitch.
The highlight of the night is here.
All right. I mean, producer Jackie, he hasn't had the best history with his Friday night game ideas. He has been demoted to the late night time slot of 10:30. just more of the where the pilot episodes come to play.
Yeah.
But he's convinced this week he stumbled across a corker of a concept.
This is a good one, because I tested it on you guys yesterday and you're like, oh yeah, this is quite good.
Right.
So it's given me a lot of enthusiasm to bring it tonight.
Was that thing that we did with the notepad that you did, where you wrote numbers on a notepad?
Yes.
I told you that wasn't that good of a game, because no one would be able to see the numbers on radio.
But I've made a radio version for us. And it's hard to kind of explain, because there's no name for it yet. So I've just sort of made an opener, and you kind of explained the game in the opener.
Okay.
So play that.
Yell out a word that starts with the same letter as the animal in the sound effect game.
Yeah, so that's pretty clear.
Wait, so like...
pretty clear for everyone?
If it was bear, would we say something starting with S or would B?
S.
Hang on, explain this from the
Okay,
from
so
the
let's
top.
Go like, say, there was a sound effect of a mouse.
Right.
So we'll go, squeak, 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 squeak.
Okay.
So that's the sound effect you guys are going to hear.
Right.
You have to identify that is... a mouse, and then you have to say a word that starts
mustache.
With M. Yeah, so it'll be like mustache. You can't say an animal, and you can't say something that's already been said.
Okay. So for instance, if it went woof, woof, mm-hmm. that's dog.
Yeah. Derek!
Okay, so
You can't do names. No names.
Can't say names. So you'd have to say something with D.
Yeah.
So
like,
dinosaur.
Okay.
Dinosaur.
Let's try the first one. So do the first one. First grab.
Okay.
You two have to say, think about what the animal is.
All right.
Think of the first letter of that animal.
All right.
And then say a word that starts with that.
Okay.
And whoever, it's the fastest.
Okay.
Sarah.
Slut. Snake.
Slut, I'll accept. Snake.
Sorry, I didn't... the snake, game takes over you.
Snake, you can't say. And say Sarah, names. You can't say Sarah.
Okay,
okay, go number two.
Sarah.
Can't say names.
Can't say names or animals.
Okay. Dinosaur.
Dog.
Oh, damn it. That's an animal. We both. Dude.
There you go.
Get around me. Wow, it's amazing
how your brain
jumps to an animal straight away.
And why do I keep saying people's names? Who the hell are Derek and Sarah?
All right, so how about we get players?
Yeah, one player next, and we'll just do like a little round robin of three of you. So you two versus...
So me, Shuey, Louie, and Takey on someone. So if you reckon you did all right at that game, and you could beat Shuey, Louie, and myself, 13, 10, 60, give us a bell. We will do Producer Jack's game next. What's it called again?
Yell.
Yell out a word that starts with the same letter as the animal in the sound effect game.
Wow. Good one. Write that down, everyone.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Yell out a word that starts with the same letter as the animal in the sound effect game.
I'm going to shorten that for next week.
Because everyone
would have already got the concept by then.
Yeah, right.
If this primetime radio.
I mean, it's a big call, him penciling it in for next week.
Well, it's going well so far. I got fingers crossed for the next couple of rounds. Oh,
Monica in Melbourne on 13 10 60. Hello, you heard the game just before you go, right?
Yeah, good.
Yep. Okay, me and Shuey Louie will be taking on you as well. So it's just a three-way, every man for himself sort of set up here.
Yep.
Producer Jack will play the sound effect. Whatever the animal that's making that sound effect, we need to identify that animal, the letter that that animal starts with. We then need to say a word. That word cannot be a name or another animal.
Yep.
A lot of hoops.
Yeah, but it makes sense once you say it out loud. Monica, you like the game, hey? That's why you called.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, awesome, cool.
Okay, all right, let's go. A best of five here. So here's the first one. Anyone can chime in as soon as they figure out an answer. Producer Jack's word is final.
Orange.
Oh, damn it.
Orange? I'll accept.
Yes.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
I was about to say octopus. Yeah. I can't believe why my brain
animals.
Always goes to animals. It's amazing. Orange. Well done, Shuey Louie.
Okay, damn one it. To Shuey.
No one saw that coming.
Neither did I.
Taking a front row seat in round number one. Here's the next one.
Doorbell.
Doorbell.
Nice.
God, that is a good one.
Genius.
Yeah.
The woof woof, the dog, the doorbell.
Oh, all right, one to Louie, one to Monica.
Oh, no! All right, here's the next one.
Moose.
Car.
Car!
Oh, she got it.
What is moose?
I meant chocolate mousse because of meow.
Wow, two to Monica, one to Shuey Louie.
Wow, we didn't see this coming. Okay.
Next one.
Hat.
Hot.
I said hat.
Wow.
Oh, you got that very far.
Can
that
I tell
was,
you guys?
How quick was that?
Can I be honest with you? Should I tell you my trick, how I'm doing this so well? It's called intuition. In my head, I thought, what's the next basic animal? And I thought, horse.
Wow.
Because I already had hat
in my
head.
What's the next one? You predicted.
Oh, hang on. Not enough time. I don't know.
Okay, yeah. Just play it.
There's a small dog that Shuey Louie just...
Have we got, what, two to Monica and two to Shuey?
Yeah.
Oh,
you know what?
Final one.
I'm going to stay out of this one, guys, because clearly I can't win it from here. So I'm keeping
bring
one
it
of
on,
you
Monica.
To take this
all right.
Cat, car, cockabara.
What is that?
She got crackers. Crackers.
What animal? No, what animal is she doing?
A cow.
Yeah,
crack. Yeah.
What about how I just said eight different things until I got to crackers?
Oh, well, no, I think we can hook Monica up with a prize anyway for being pretty good.
Yeah.
Shuey Louie.
I love this game.
I want to play my own game.
8 p.m. on Monday. 8 p.m. on Monday.
Yeah, we'll bring it back. Well done, Producer Jack.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.